Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
When you're down and troubled,
we're back. It's 12 after.
And you need a helping hand.
I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. Andrew Langer is our guest, and he's manager of regulatory policy at the NFIB, and I'm happy to say that just like their members, the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business, works on Columbus Day, right, Andrew?
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm going to be going into the office in another few minutes.
Well, you're already working, right?
Absolutely. Well, you know, always.
Of course, it's not really work being here, though, is it?
No. It's always a pleasure to be on with you, Jim, and happy to just to talk to your listeners about what's going on in D.C. in terms of regulation.
We're glad to have you back on the show, Andrew, as always. Andrew, the World Bank came out with I consider it to be kind of, coming from the World Bank, kind of a bombshell report within the last 30 days on regulation and how, and the impact, the negative impact that regulations have on on economies, not the economy, but on economies.
It's really
on marketplaces, and it's very interesting. I'm going to be getting into that report more and more as the in the days and weeks ahead. But you're working on something there at the NFIB that's a good example of this. And why don't you tell us about it?
Sure thing. I mean, to me, it's always amazing just how much money gets siphoned away from an economy on paperwork, which really is unnecessary, on regulatory compliance issues, which really are ill-founded. You know, we've been trying to get a handle on paperwork. I mean, next to taxes and healthcare issues, the amount of time our businesses spend working for the government on paperwork and other regulatory compliance issues is the number one issue that our members face. And so last year, Congress passes a Paperwork Reduction Act, and they've been really trying to get a handle, supposedly, on how much time our members spend filling out forms for the federal government, state governments. And they came out with a report which, you know, estimated, you know, certain compliance hours and said that they were trying to get a handle on it. Well, to us, the most egregious example of it is the federal government's regulations, the paperwork regulations underlying the toxics release inventory, and specifically those having to do with lead.
Mm-hmm.
And I know your members, not a lot of them have to deal with what we call the TRI. What it is, it's a paperwork rule in which businesses of all sizes are supposed to account for where certain substances, chemical substances, go after they're used by the businesses. So
they have
to account for if they
pour a gallon in, they have to account for where that gallon goes, don't they?
Exactly. One of the examples we like to use is, and it's a good example as to how difficult it is to figure out how to comply, especially for small businesses, because our small businesses, of course, don't have environmental compliance managers or environmental scientists or sometimes even chemists on staff to figure out what happens. But, you know, for instance, lead, which is the example we're using today, lead is in glazes for ceramics. So if you're a specialty potter, a specialty ceramic maker, you have to account for the lead that's used in your glaze. And we had one person who was having to weigh her jars of glaze before she used them. And then she would have to weigh her ceramic pieces. And then she would have to actually weigh the rags that she used to wipe up excess glaze afterwards.
Wow.
To account for all of her lead. And it to me, that's just taking an example and putting it way too far. This woman's spending more time weighing her goods and her materials and her tools than she is actually making ceramic mugs almost.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it's a huge problem. And originally, you know, TRI, it has its merits. You know, figuring out where chemicals are is probably a good thing overall. But, you know, you want to do it, you want to get the most bang for your buck, as they say. And so originally, the lead TRI rule only applied to businesses that used more than 10,000 pounds of lead a year.
And by the way, Andrew, let's stop for a second. Folks, Andrew gave you the example of the lady who works has a ceramic shop, and I actually know some people who are in this category, but we also have plumbers.
Sure, plumbers.
And plumbers, I mean, if you've ever, if you've ever been a plumber's helper, as I have been in a former life, and also done a little yourself, then you know about how plumbers use lead to seal pipes.
And just imagine the accounting nightmare it is to have to go through and list every place that you filled in a pipe juncture with lead solder over the last year.
Right.
Well, EPA decided a couple of years back to take the threshold reporting. And originally had to use 10,000 pounds, which is a substantial amount of lead. They decided to take it down to 100 pounds, 1% of what it was before.
Wow.
And immediately groups like NFIB and the circuit board manufacturers and our friends at NAM, we all said, this is nutty. I mean, this makes zero sense. The guys over at the SBA's Office of Advocacy, they said, this makes no sense. Nevertheless, EPA went ahead with the standard, and we said, there's no reason to the science is bad. You're not gonna account for anything much. But they did it anyway, and then they came out with a really bad compliance guide, and they estimated, this is what struck me, before the rule was implemented, EPA's own estimate said that it was going to take 2.5 weeks, 60 hours for you to do the paperwork, or for you to figure out if you... 60 hours to do the paperwork, and another 40 hours to figure out if you needed to do the paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So that's 2.5 weeks to do the paperwork for just lead TRI.
This is a plumber or a ceramics company or a print circuit board company?
This is anybody, including the smallest of the small. It would probably take a little bit longer. I mean, we knew that their estimates were going to be low, but just using their estimates, 2.5 weeks for one regulation.
I'm trying to imagine, the look on my uncle's face, who used to be a plumber, who's the guy I used to work for.
Sure.
I'm trying to imagine the look on his face when you told him he had to do that.
Absolutely.
Of course, he's been retired a long time, but still, it's amazing.
I mean, it is. This is the kind of rule that really makes a small business person decide whether or not they want to stay in business. I mean, it's that sort of a, mm-hmm. You spend 2.5 weeks of your time. You don't have somebody on staff who can do it. You have to do it.
And of course, Andrew, you and I are not saying that lead isn't dangerous, that we don't need to keep it out of our environment. We're not saying that at all. We're just saying that it's when you get it to the levels that they got, that they applied it to, it's really ridiculous.
No, and Jim,
you're not really saving that, it's not like you're protecting a lot of people that way.
Biggest bang for the buck, and this is all, we were saying this before the reg went into place because we had a feeling that it was going to be a reg that was not going to do what they wanted it to do.
Hang on to that thought, Andrew. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Andrew's going to tell us. He knows what wound up happening. How effective was this? Was it successful or not? He'll tell us about that right after these messages. It's 20 after. Stay with us. We're back. It's 23 after. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. My website is www.jbsba.com. And our guest is Andrew Langer. He's a manager of regulatory policy at the NFIB, the National Federation of Independent Business. And folks, their website is nfib.com. Right, Andrew?
Absolutely.
And I recommend
check it out and go visit.
Check that website out. There's a lot of good stuff there. And also, I encourage you to join NFIB, folks. Andrew, as you know, I've been a member of NFIB for about 12 or 13 years now.
And we've been happy to have you as a member, Jim. And I like to say I'm building the membership one member at a time. It's a very, very personal thing. So.
Yeah, they're good folks. They do a lot of good work for the small business folks out there. And I encourage you to when an NFIB rep calls on you, he's not going to try to sell you anything, folks. He doesn't have any products. All he has to offer you is representation in Washington, D.C. and in your state houses. So check that out. Andrew, the folks, we reported a few minutes ago that the EPA extended their toxic release inventory regulations from 10,000 pounds of lead down to 100 pounds of lead.
Exactly.
Anybody using that much had to report all this, and they were convinced that they were going to catch a lot of errors, a lot of people who were misusing lead, and it was just going to save the world.
Well, it wasn't even a question of misuse. It's just a question of use. I mean, this is,
of
this
use.
Is a...
But when I say misuse, also they were trying to make sure that nobody was misusing it, letting it get out in the environment, and they were going to save the environment from lead. But what did they find out, Andrew?
Well, first of all, let me just say, I mean, you know, in terms of talking about lead risks, I mean, all regulations have to be based on some sort of risk. The most persistent form of lead risk in the environment today is still lead paint. And if EPA really wants to get a handle on lead exposure, then they've got to deal with the lead paint issue. Dealing with plumbers and solder isn't really the way to do it. And we've discovered that, indeed, we were right, because when we got back the documentation, it turned out that there were only about 5,000 new filers for lead TRI. Only 5,000. They were expecting a lot more. Mm-hmm. And then in terms of the filers themselves, over half of them, or just about half of them, I should say, 46%, reported no releases of lead whatsoever. That they could account for every bit of lead that they had on site that was just used in-house and none of it got out persistently. Which means that if you take the 100 hours spent filling out the paperwork and the 2,000 filers that we're talking about, that means that roughly 200,000 man hours were spent doing lead TRI form filling, and there was no benefit to the public and the environment overall. That's a man century. It's, you know,
that's amazing.
It would take 2,000 years.
But what irritates me, Andrew, is your group and Tom Sullivan over at the advocacy office at the SBA, all of you guys told them this.
We've all been
saying
this.
And they wouldn't listen.
They would not listen when the reg was being put in place. They wouldn't listen when the reg was being, you know, being discussed and people were about to form. They wouldn't listen. There's a group of about five of us who have been hammering this issue, this lead TRI issue, with EPA for the last... I've been an NFIB for 18 months, and this was on my radar screen almost immediately upon my arrival. And I've been hammering this and hammering this and hammering this at EPA, and they have been so intractable and unwilling to admit that they've made a mistake. I mean, I listened as Kim Nelson... Kim Nelson over at EPA, who is Assistant Administrator, Deputy Administrator. She's a senior administration official there. She just testified over at the House Resources Committee on this, and it was very clear just how reluctant they are to address the situation. Always speaking in very vague terms about what they're willing to do to take over this reg, and we've been trying to force the issue on many fronts. We think we're finally going to get some results now that this report has come out, now that they recognize that so much time has been spent for no benefit whatsoever. We may actually be able to force the issue, get EPA Science Advisory Board to step in there.
What about Michael Barrera's group? And Michael's with the Ombudsman's Office at the SBA, and he's the guy who goes after regulations that are in place and seeing how that affects the what the effects that they have on small business. Is he involved in this at all?
Here's the problem. I would love to get the National Ombudsman's Office involved in this. You know, I think their
program
is
what they do. I mean,
fantastic.
What you're talking about is what they do.
Here's the problem. The Ombudsman's Office gets involved when the regulations that are being implemented unfairly, you know, above and beyond the way that they're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the problem here is that even the regulation as it's been designed is unfair.
Right.
And there's not a whole heck of a lot.
Right. I think we just lost Andrew, but folks, here's the thing that I wanted Andrew on the line here with us today is because even though we're talking about lead, and even though you might be saying, well, so what, lead, I don't deal with lead, and I don't know anybody who does. Well, folks, if they can do it for lead, they can do it for anything. They can do it for whatever. You know, look around your office at the raw material that you use, and the issue is, again, here is not that lead isn't dangerous. It's not that at all. It's that when they apply it on such micro levels, like they did 100 pounds, if they can do it for lead, they can do it for other things. And so we have to – that's one of the reasons why we need people up in Washington fighting off these people, trying to protect small business owners as much as possible. And that comes from from Tom Sullivan's office over at the SBA, the Office of Advocacy, also the NFIB, and a lot of other organizations that are working on this. And so when you have an opportunity to support some of these groups, that's what they're doing. They're helping you to prevent, to protect you from these overburdening regulations. And sorry we lost Andrew there. I don't know what happened to the phone system. But anyway, quick break. I'll be right back. It's 29 after. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.